Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach, brought to you by the TeacherCast Educational Network. If you are in charge of professional development and looking to build an innovative digital learning experience, this is the podcast for you. Join us each week as we uncover strategies that tech coaches are using to drive their digital transformations one classroom at a time. And now for your host, with over two decades of experience working with tech coaches and edtech companies from all around the world, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is Ask the Tech Coach podcast, episode number 255. I have a fantastic show planned for you today. We're going to be talking all about communication with your teachers, setting up channels so that way you're successful in the classroom. And we're going to dive into a topic that's near and dear to myself, but also so many others out there as they're making that transition. How do you go from one position to the next, yet still keep that sense of being a coach? And, you know, I've said many, many times, I'll probably say it on this show as we go through, you know, you can put the coach in the classroom, but you can't get the coach out of the classroom. And we're going to explore how that works and how you can still keep your coaching spirit, no matter if you're an administrative role, a coaching role, or a classroom role, or anywhere in the middle of that. I'm looking forward to having my guest on today. Stick around for the end. We've got some great news about some of the big things happening here on TeacherCast. And again, I want to say thank you guys for joining us. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world right now. If you've been watching your emails, the ISTE proposals are back out. There's a lot of stuff happening in the ISTE community leaders. ASCDs got proposals going out. There's a lot of neat things, but the big news of the world right now, TeacherCast is now about a month into our brand new rollout, our digital rollout. A month ago or so, I had a chance to relaunch the website, new platform, new theme, new colors, new logo, new everything. Head on over to teachercast.net. I have all of our podcasts that are up. I have about 60 or so different blog posts that are up. So if you're on my social feeds and you're seeing a lot of stuff pop out, that is because every single thing from the last 13 years or so of doing this as getting repolished, retooled, re-updated, refixed. And there's so many good things going out here. And as we are recording this right now, we're recording this on a Tuesday. I have shows aligned for every single day of this month. Lots of great content coming out. Lots of great podcasts. Lots of great video going to be coming out. Stick around. Share this episode with your friends and folks. I am excited that you guys are here. Thank you once again for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. My guest today is a lead instructional coach in the Chicago public school system. I want to bring on today, Miss Jennifer Coffin. Jen, how are you today? Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy to have you. I'm so excited to have you. We've been kind of catching up back and forth through our different inner channels here, talking a lot about instructional coaching. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I am in the Chicago area. I moved up here in August of 2020 after living in Indianapolis for 17 years. And I have held a large amount of different roles throughout my educational career. So I've done everything from substitute teaching to instructional assistant to principalship and assistant principalship. And now I'm currently a lead coach within Chicago Public Schools, which is an interesting position because it is a fully released teacher leadership position, meaning that I am under teacher contract, but I am able to provide coaching support to the teachers within my building.
I love that you've had this opportunity to see the classroom from every single angle. What got you into coaching?
So I was in the classroom again after being in administration for about 5 years, just prior to the pandemic. And I went back into the classroom as a Title I non-public teacher. So I really enjoyed being able to have some autonomy with being able to run small groups and give intervention support to students. But I really missed being a part of a leadership team and having that ability to kind of still influence things throughout the building and make that larger difference. So when I moved up here to Chicago, I knew that I wanted to have a chance to work again with adults and with adult learning theory, and coaching seemed like the best option for that venue. I also knew that I didn't want to go back into administration necessarily just yet, because I knew the daily stresses and challenges of that, and being in a new city was stressful enough as it is. So coaching to me is just a really good opportunity to still be able to affect systemic change and support teachers with what they really need in real time. And that's not always you're not able to do that all the time as an administrator.
I 100% agree with that. You know, and as somebody who was in an administrator role before, and now I'm back in the classroom, I'm finding that there's a lot of things from my administrator life and even in my coaching life that I'm able to wield, if you will, not only in my classroom, but around. You know, I had a conversation recently with my administration team, and I'm like, you know, and I said it already, it's the second time, you have a coach here. I'm doing the coaching thing. I might not be in the classrooms. Right. People might not be calling me. You might not be sending things, but trust me, whenever I'm having conversations with people, I'm picking and asking questions and trying to figure things out. And how can I help? How can I support? Or how can I help move certain chess pieces around? I mean, there's always your spider sense going off of how can I make sure that the place is better than when I found it?
Yes, yes, I agree. And it's, I find that my challenge currently is trying to make sure that I'm staying within a scope of work and making sure that I'm not overextending myself, because my tendency is to want to help as much as possible and be an achiever and set really lofty goals. And I'm recognizing as I get older that I need to make sure that I'm staying in my lane and keeping my lane clean and clear before I'm trying to merge over and take on something else.
I'm with you on that point. You know, I think the one thing that I've been trying to do for myself every day almost is get as, I don't want to say I'm hitting inbox zero, but I think I'm down to inbox three. Almost
that's like impressive.
4 days, right? And you know, I but that's all admin tricks, you know, making sure that you have your filters, making sure you have your rules, making, you know, everything kind of has its place, and that way you don't get that stuff. I mean, the only thing I think, you know, as we're recording this, the only thing in my inbox right now are three emails about special ed meetings coming up for students. I mean, those are small things, but really, staying in your lane is important, right? I'm a coach. Yeah. I'm not here to tackle the district. I'm here to tackle my building or my classroom or my department or whatever it happens to be. Do you miss sitting in the administrative chairs?
There are times for sure. Especially when I have seen things not go well and I feel helpless at times, because there are opportunities where I see growth and challenge and change that are available, and I just don't have the capacity for that. You know, full disclosure, you know, we talked earlier about not just, you know, spilling all the tea and everything, so to speak, but, you know, I definitely have felt some pushes and some calls maybe back into leadership, especially just within the last few years. But I also know that my time with my family is very valuable and finite. And I know that I need to preserve myself as much as possible. And with that, I just know that's not the best option for me right now. But I definitely have more confidence than I did previously if I were to be given that opportunity or if I were to pursue that opportunity.
So Jen, the one thing that I think being an administrator or having that administrative experience teaches us really is the importance of having a strong communication system. And that's something that I think we can always discuss and bring into our coaching worlds. Talk to us a little bit about what maybe you've learned about communication and how, as a head coach, you are communicating with your other coaches in the district.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I learned early on in my career was just the importance of being really clear and thoughtful in my communication and making sure that I was prepared when I was communicating with people. I mean, this comes up every day within all of our lives, but in particular, earlier today, you know, I was having a conversation with a teacher who was asking me about, you know, collaboration meetings, and I was just finding myself trying to explain why meeting and collaboration is important. And it was great because I could just be honest and say, it's important to collaborate because we need to know what everyone is doing so that we can best serve our students. And I have found that the times that I'm able to be as honest and forthright with my communication, the better off things can be. I also have learned throughout my career that over-communication is generally the better way to go. I tend to be a perfectionist, and so I want things to be just right before I send them out, but there are things that need to be time-sensitive with delivery, and that is something that is a really hard line to walk, especially in administration, because your communication needs to be on point, but then you also need to communicate quickly in some respects. You know, as a teacher and as a coach, you do have that little bit of time. It's not, you know, the end of the world necessarily at times. I would say with my current role and being able to communicate with other coaches within the district, our coaches have a Google chat that we use, and we use that to collaborate quite a bit. We also have district-run PLCs that meet every month, and then we also have district-level professional development. So Chicago Public Schools has built out over the last few years a really strong distributed leadership network, and so that network is used to help develop our coaches and team directors throughout the district. And I have found that support to be invaluable with being my first year within Chicago Public Schools and just making sure that I can put a good spin on coaching within my own school.
Let's discuss that a little bit here. I mean, I've had an opportunity to work in, I'll say, large school districts, you know, 14,000 kids, clearly not Chicago style.
Sure.
Although that sounds like it's a pizza now. it's an educational system where the sauce is on top.
Exactly.
let's break this down here. Is Chicago Public Schools Google-based, Microsoft-based, a little bit of both?
I think probably a little bit of both. So it is a behemoth. Chicago Public Schools basically are divided into networks. And so each network is essentially its own like entity. So we have our CEO and he is in charge of everything, but then every network has a network chief. And then each network kind of has their own spin on things too. And then some schools, like my school, is an independent school. And so for that, our principals have proven through whatever metric that they are capable of running their schools without as much oversight as a traditional network. And so we have the opportunity to use different curriculum choices, or we just don't have as much oversight by the district as a whole. It is very confusing. And it's something that actually put me off from entering into CPS when we first moved here, because I was really, frankly, confused and very frustrated with trying to figure out where exactly I could find a foothold within the district.
How many instructional coaches? I'm sure there's a huge number, but I mean, do you have tech coaches, reading coaches? Like, how is that department broken down?
Yeah, so it is really kind of based on your school. So for me, at my school, my principal has tasked me with implementing a specific language arts curriculum for as my focus for this year. Some schools have coaches that are focusing on gifted education. Some schools are focusing on technology or math. It really just depends on the needs of the school, which is great because then it allows for some flexibility. But then it's also challenging because then trying to find good collaboration can be very tricky at times.
And I was asking about the Microsoft versus Google only because I was curious. You said you guys do Teams, you guys do Google. Like, what does that collaboration look like?
Yeah, I think we're probably mostly Google-based. I mean, we run Microsoft-like products, but for the most part, we're a Google system. So, you know, Gmail, Google Chat, all those things are the primary, like, drivers for communication.
One of the hot topics that's been popping up a lot on our Facebook groups has been newsletter communication. And this is always a hot topic with coaches, you know. Tell us a little bit about how you are communicating or how your other coaches are communicating. Are they, if it's Google-based, are they doing like a Google site? Are they doing s'mores? Are they doing, what does that newsletter communication, how do they share the information that's happening around the district?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am currently, my principal does a weekly newsletter. And so I have refrained from doing my own newsletter just because I don't want to step on toes or think that I'm trying to overtake a newsletter or anything like that. Occasionally I'll add something in when I have something of good content to share, but I've noticed that people don't tend to read the newsletter very much anyway. So I'm not going to spend too much time putting in too much effort into that right now. I have been developing a Google site that I am using to hopefully maximize my communication with teachers as I move forward. This is my first year within my school, so I'm still just kind of getting my feet wet with that. But for right now, it's a lot of just meeting people where they are. So if that is popping by their classroom, it's popping by their classroom. If it's email, it's email, GChat. I did some surveys with my teachers at the beginning of the year and middle of the year to determine like what their communication preferences were. And then I try to be adaptable to that.
And I think that's important, right? Making sure that you're getting everything that they need and getting it to them in exactly a way that they can use it. I mean, some teachers like email, some teachers love the little personal video. I always love it when I have coaches come on the show and they talk about their potty PD, where they put all the little
yes
and stuff in the bathrooms. And I think that's all cute. I've been wanting to do something like that. Like we have, I don't even know who it is. Somebody goes around to all of our faculty bathrooms and puts memes up there. And I just want to like put up, yeah, I want to do like, here's the keyboard shortcut of the day. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not.
Yes. Yes. It's really about trying to figure out like what the culture is of your school and then how you can best fit into that. And that's something that I do feel like I've had a good opportunity to learn more about because I've bounced around so much over the last few years in particular, that I can be a lot more adaptable and I'm not just like, no, I just do a newsletter and that's how I do it. I think you really have to be amenable to meeting people where they are.
You know, I've been thinking about this topic based off of where I am right now with the work that I'm doing with my students, the work that I'm trying to fit into the school community.
Yeah.
Everything that you're mentioning right now with the communication skills, is that a Jen Kaufman thing or is that an admin thing that you've brought into? Like I'm trying to turn around a little bit and go, okay, how much of my admin life am I bringing in or how much of me was in my admin life? I don't know if that makes sense yet.
But no, it does. I think it's kind of one and the same at times. I was literally just before we were talking, reading through the latest educational leadership magazine, and they were talking about how it's all focused on emotional intelligence and just like SEL work for this issue. And one of the things, one of the articles was talking about how as a teacher, we're called to being a teacher and how that can be somewhat abusive at times because it's our calling. It's what we feel that we are drawn to. And I still very much feel that way. And I don't see it from an abusive lens in that like, oh, I'm called to do this. And so you can just tell me to do whatever I want, whatever you want me to do, because I'm going to do it because it's for the kids. I feel compelled and everything else. I think, you know, from that, I've always been a very, what you see is what you get kind of person. And so I know authenticity is something that I really value. And I know that when I'm not bringing that authenticity to a space, then it's not a good fit. And that, so when we're talking about like communication, I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like to me, being an authentic leader means that you're vulnerable, that you're showing your community that you are willing to grow and develop with them. And that's something that I know that I'd be able to take into another leadership role if I chose to go back down that path at some point.
One of the things I bet that you have brought from your admin life is the sense of organization and making sure that everything is organized. I remember putting together my Notion dashboards. I remember putting together all of my stuff to make sure that my budgets were intact and everything about me was organized, from my task list to you name it. I started using Notion, and that's something that we're going to be talking a lot about here on the channel as we go through this the next couple of weeks. Talk to us a little bit about how you stay organized. What are your tools? What are your applications? All that good stuff.
Yeah, since we're mostly Google based, I use, you know, my Google Drive extensively. I've learned some tips and tricks, but I definitely am always interested in learning more about how to maximize my productivity with Google. But one of the best things that I have done so far for this year is I built out just a notebook for myself using Google spreadsheets. And so it houses all of my common links. I have tabs for my coaching loads, my schedules. I have links to all of my teachers' folders and all of their notes available too. And so that is my constant tab that I have open every day, because I know as soon as I start searching for something, it's on that dashboard. I just have to go to that. I use a lot of the tasks management system within Google Mail to help with managing my inbox and keeping my tasks straight. And I, throughout the years, I've kind of gone back and forth with like paper planners. And I find that I have to not only write things down, but then also sometimes I need to keep that electronic list too. So it's really just about making sure that I'm managing my expectations and my time as much as possible. I also know that if my space is cluttered, then my mind is cluttered. And so like last week, I finally unpacked a box that had been sitting behind my desk for like 3 or 4 months, I think at this point. And it just feels so much better to not have that big bulky thing sitting there. I think those are just a few of the tips and tricks, I guess.
Well, you had mentioned your website. Now, we're going to make sure that there's a link to it over here in our show notes for Ask the Tech Coach podcast, episode 255. You put everything in a Google site, made it easy for everybody. Is that something that you are sharing out? Is that just something that happens to be in your email signature? We often talk here that, you know, a coach's website should really be for them that they then share, because what teacher is bookmarking this thing and going to it every single second? What is your relationship with your website? I know that's a weird question, but
I don't know yet. this is the first time that I've kind of built one of those out. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, is it something that is going to be usable and durable? Is it something that I want to you know, put out as far as like a public persona too. I know, you know, obviously like I'm on social media as like myself, so to speak, but I don't have a professional outlet for that anymore. I did previously as an administrator, but it just became really bulky to manage all of that. And so I'm looking at the website as more of my my space to put out content that I'm creating that I feel like could be relevant and useful for other teachers, as opposed to just having to like send Google links to things all the time.
I love it when coaches are using it not only to share with others, but also as their digital backpack. Right. So yes. I will make a site, and I've shared this with other people on the channel and stuff like that. But instead of making bookmarks on my Chrome browser, I'll build a page with bookmarks. Now, that comes from my relationship with Jerry Blumengarten, the Cyberry Man, who has a page for everything. I mean, because then I can take that page and say, oh, you want to learn about Breakout EDU? Here's all of those resources, rather than it's in my Chrome browser and only I have access to it.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's something that I really want to continue to grow and develop, is developing teachers' capacity for being able to, or maximizing their capacity rather, and helping them with that, with providing resources. Resource support is so critical, and there's so much out there right now, and a lot of it is really good, but just finding the good stuff and being able to curate that, I think, is a really challenging task for our teachers, and they don't have time for that. And that's one way that I can help as a coach.
So Jen, as we wrap up here, what advice do you have for coaches as we're wrapping up the school year? I mean, we did a show recently on our Digital Learning Today channel where we're talking about the fact that, you know, it's getting warmer. Teachers are now getting into the testing phases, and students are getting a little crazy and hormonal and stuff like that. What advice do you have for coaches who are trying to do their job when the only way they can do their job is through somebody else?
Oh, that is a great question. I think the best advice that I can give is to be there for your teachers. Our teachers need support now more than ever. And being there can look a lot of different ways. It can be as small as giving someone a 5-minute break to literally go to the bathroom or get a drink of water or just take a minute, up to, you know, collaborating on planning a lesson and being there for assessment support, especially, you know, with this testing season. I think that really the best thing that you can do is to just be available. And I saw something the other day about, you know, being a learner and not a judger. It's really easy to slip into a judgmental framework and viewpoint at times, especially as a seasoned educator of, well, I wouldn't do that this way, or I wouldn't be teaching it this way. And instead, really just coming from a place of curiosity. I'm a big Ted Lasso fan. And so my like personal kind of theme for this year is to be curious, not judgmental. And I think that that's advice that I need to continue to follow myself. And I would just, I would really encourage other coaches to lead from that lens, especially over these next few months, which are really tricky.
Be curious, not judgmental. I think that's a great motto for any coach that's out there. Always be asking questions. Always try to figure out where things are, where you're going, how you can be supportive. And as you mentioned earlier, stay in that lane. Know the lane that you're in, right? And if you don't know the lane you're in, ask somebody, you know, keep those relationships going with your administrator. Where should I be? What am I doing? You know, you had mentioned that your goal this year is to implement a new program. That's your lane. You know, you can look to the left and the right, but that's your lane. Figure out how you can do that. Jen, let's put a bow on this right now. I know we've been, I hope for anybody who's listening to this episode, the edit is okay. We've actually had 7 or 8 outages because Jen's having a storm right now. I'm having a storm right now. So I'm going to stitch this thing together the best as possible. But Jen, please come back on. Bring some friends. Bring some coaches. I would love to explore all of these topics. Jen, where can people find out more information about the great work you're doing?
Well, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Like you said, my website will be linked in the show notes. And otherwise, I am on LinkedIn, Jennifer Rose Gates Kaufman. And I'm through Chicago Public Schools. So you can Google any of those things, and I'm sure I'll pop up.
Nice. And I want to say thank you guys for taking the time of spending with us today. There's a lot of great content over on TeacherCast, 255 Ask the Tech Coach episodes and counting, all of our great instructional coaching blog posts. I am getting them back up as quickly as I can on the site. You can head on over to askthetechcoach.com to check all that stuff out. So on behalf of Jen and everybody here in the TeacherCast Educational Network, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to Ask the Tech Coach, hosted by Jeff Bradbury of the TeacherCast Educational Network. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at Ask the Tech Coach or online at www.askthetechcoach.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.